Hello, friends. Welcome to a Thursday afternoon edition. This is Bill Allen coming to you from Tyler, Texas, and I hope that you are having a good day and a good week and feeling God's presence and blessings upon you today and always. We are going through the Daily Bible in chronological order on these Tuesday, Thursday Facebook classes. They're live on my page at 3 p.m. Central Time. And then there, of course, can be seen there at any time just by scrolling down, but also on our West Irwin Live and West Irwin Church of Christ Facebook pages, shared there after I'm finished, and also on our West Irwin Church of Christ website at westirwin.com. And Irwin is the street we're on, and that is spelled E-R-W-I-N. So lots of ways to get that. Appreciate all of the viewers that we have. We always have a lot every time and appreciate that very much. It's wonderful to get to study the Bible with folks, even if I don't hear from them. And that is a great blessing. I appreciate you all. Today, as we have been in exile. It's a very dark time in the history of God's people in the Old Testament. God had finally said enough, and he had sent the Assyrians to the northern kingdom of Israel, and the Babylonians, decades later, to the southern kingdom of Judah and its capital, Jerusalem. The line of David still on the throne there. King Zedekiah was the last of the kings, and he was killed, and his sons killed in front of his eyes, and then his eyes put out, and then King Zedekiah himself killed. It was a horrible, horrible time. And this was in 586 BC. Jeremiah had said, God has had enough, and it's not going to go well. And he proved to be correct. And so the Babylonians took the Israelites to the land of Babylon, modern-day Iraq or Iran, somewhere east of the promised land of the Middle East. And as they were going, they went in three different stages, deportations, that started around 605 BC with the first of the groups that were taken, the best of the best, including Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll hear more about Daniel coming up next week on Tuesday. And but also, some years later, a second wave was taken into captivity that included the majority of the people of Jerusalem, including Ezekiel, who was taken to Babylon with 10,000 or so of his countrymen. And while in Babylon, he received a call from God to hear and see visions of what God was doing in the promised land, even saw the devastation that was caused when the walls were torn down and the temple burned and the rest of the people either killed or taken into captivity in 586. Ezekiel saw all of that happening while he was hundreds and hundreds of miles away in Babylon. And that's where we are right now. We are in Babylon. So nice to see my dear friends, Cindy and Eric Mosley, with us. And I know several others will be watching either live or later. And that's wonderful. Glad to have you. Today, we're in Babylon. We're there with the exiles. And we have seen that, the lamentations that Jeremiah wrote, very sad, sad chapters of the devastation that was brought upon God's people, a tiny glimpse of light found in chapter 3 when Jeremiah acknowledges that the compassions of the Lord never fail and his mercies are there every morning. It inspires a couple of our songs, Great is Thy Faithfulness, The Steadfast Love of the Lord. Interestingly enough, those wonderful songs of hope and promise and joy, written, the lyrics anyway, by Jeremiah in the darkest time of Israel's history in the Old Testament. And so now we've been there for a while, and other things are being written, and those things are called the Psalms. We have several Psalms that are written while the Israelites are in exile. And this is where we are today. And we're going to go through some of those and just take a look at them and reflect on them a bit. As F. Lagarde Smith Right. This is the beginning of the reading on September 18th, and the 18th and the 19th are the days that he covers these psalms of a people in exile. Like the book of Job, the people have seen the wonderful blessings of God upon his people in Jerusalem, and now the devastation and shame of being taken away as captives to a pagan nation, hundreds and hundreds of miles from their homeland. The prayers that we'll read and that you read, I won't read all of them, but the Psalms, of course, are songs, but also prayers. And they approach God in humility, of course, and seek his mercy, pray for his vindication and for his deliverance, and for them to be able to return to their homeland. And so, starting with Psalm 44, we'll look through several of these Psalms of a people in exile. Psalm 44, we have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand, you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. You are my God and my King, who decrees victories for Jacob. Through you, we push back our enemies. Through your name, we trample our foes. This is the psalmist recounting of summarizing the history of God's people that led to their being able to dwell in that promised land that had been promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and that finally found their fulfillment as Moses led the people out of Egyptian bondage and traveling for 40 years until they finally were at the banks of the Jordan River on the east side. And Moses, unable to go across because of his own sin, Joshua led the people across the Jordan River and led them to conquer the land. And that's where they stayed for a long, long time. Ultimately, they had three united kings in the united kingdom. King Saul, who, because of his lack of faith, was rejected as king. And then King David, a man after God's own heart, a sinful man, and yet a man who was humbled and humbled himself and received God's blessing and forgiveness. And then his line, his descendants, reigned on the throne in Jerusalem. His son Solomon built the temple and reigned over a united kingdom of Israel. But his son Rehoboam, because of his pride and selfishness and bad judgment, saw 10 of the 12 tribes go to the north and rebel and form their own kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. Their capital, Samaria, made gods and said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egyptian bondage." And never a good king can be found in the history of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. But the southern kingdom of Judah remained faithful to the line of David, to Rehoboam and his descendants, there in Jerusalem, with the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, until finally the Babylonians came and carried them away into captivity, as we said earlier. The writer of this psalm, Psalm 44, expresses how God took care of them and provided them victories, and how it wasn't by their own strength or their own military that they got them. And then the psalmist continues and begins to apply it to himself and his own situation. The middle of Psalm 44, "I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory, but you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God, we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever." But he can't deny the reality of their suffering. "But now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy, and our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep and have scattered us among the nations. You sold your people for a pittance, gaining nothing from their sale. You have made us a reproach to our neighbors, the scorn and derision of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations. The people shake their heads at us. I live in disgrace all day long, and my face is covered with shame at the taunts of those who reproach and revile me because of the enemy who is bent on revenge. The great thing about the Psalms is they are honest. They cry out to God in honesty. They express great joy when they see God's hand of deliverance and blessing, but they also very honestly share their suffering when they're going through that, and that's where we are in exile. Towards the end of Psalm 44, the psalmist acknowledges why this happened. And the prophets are very clear about this. All this came upon us, Psalm 44 says, though we had not forgotten you, we had not been false to your covenant, our hearts had not turned back, our feet had not strayed from your path, but you crushed us and made us a haunt for jackals. You covered us over with deep darkness. If we had forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God have discovered it? And since he knows the secrets of the heart, yet for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. The psalmist says, hey, look, we weren't perfect, but we didn't deserve this. And that's how much they were suffering. And that last line, yet for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That verse Paul quotes in that wonderful, incredible chapter, Romans chapter 8, as he expresses a song of victory, the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And so the psalmist ends Psalm 44 with these words, awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us. Rescue us because of your unfailing love. What great words of faith, even in the worst of times. Incredible. Psalm 74 is the next one in these psalms of a people in exile. Psalm 74, O God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smolder against the sheep of your pasture? Remember the nation you purchased long ago, the people of your inheritance whom you redeemed, Mount Zion, where you dwelt, speaking of Jerusalem. Turn your steps toward these everlasting ruins, all this destruction the enemy has brought on the sanctuary. Your foes roared in the place where you met with us, talking about the temple. They set up their standards as signs. They behaved like men wielding axes to cut through a thicket of trees. They smashed all the carved paneling with their axes and hatchets, that beautiful temple that Solomon had built with so much wealth and so much beauty. They burned your sanctuary to the ground. They defiled the dwelling place of your name. They said in their hearts, we will crush them completely. They burned every place where God was worshipped in the land. We are given no signs from God. No prophets are left. And none of us knows how long this will be. Well, Jeremiah had told them, but maybe the psalmist forgot. How long will the enemy mock you, God? Will the foe revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand, your right hand? Take it from the folds of your garment and destroy them. But God is my king from long ago. He brings salvation on the earth. Even in this worst of times, the psalmist still recognizes the power of his God. Later on, he writes this, remember how the enemy has mocked you, Lord, how foolish people have reviled your name. Do not hand over the life of your dove to wild beasts. Do not forget the lives of your afflicted people forever. Have regard for your covenant, because haunts of violence fill the dark places of the land. The psalmist cries out to God for mercy and for deliverance, for vindication and punishment against their enemies. And they know that it is only in the hand of God where their deliverance can be found. Psalm 79. O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have reduced Jerusalem to rubble. They have left the dead bodies of your servants as food for the birds of the sky, the flesh of your own people for the animals of the wild. They have poured out blood like water all around Jerusalem, and there is no one to bury the dead. We are objects of contempt to our neighbors, of scorn and derision to those around us. How long, Lord, the psalmist cries out, will you be angry forever? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you, on the kingdoms that do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob and devastated his homeland. Psalm 79 continues, do not hold against us the sins of past generations. May your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need. Help us, God our Savior, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, where is their God? That's what the Babylonians were saying. Their God did not deliver them. And the prophets such as Jeremiah and Habakkuk were clear that it was because of their sin and their sinfulness that God had finally had enough. It's a warning for us today. As the people of God, the church, we need to be faithful. We need to stay with him and stay with his word. But the nations around them in the days of this psalmist, during the days of the exile, the 6th century B.C., in the 500s B.C., the psalmist says, the nations around us say, where is your God? I thought you said he was powerful. I thought you said he was the creator. I thought you said he would deliver you, but he hasn't. And the psalmist is crying out for that deliverance. Psalm 79 continues, before our eyes, make known among the nations that you avenge the outpoured blood of your servants. May the groans of the prisoners come before you. With your strong arm, preserve those condemned to die. Pay back into the laps of our neighbors 7 times the contempt they have hurled at you, Lord. Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will praise you forever. From generation to generation, we will proclaim your praise. Well, in light of what the New Testament and the teaching of Jesus says about your enemies, how do we justify what the psalmist is saying here? Pay back into the laps of our neighbors 7 times the contempt they have hurled at you, Lord. Well, I'm not sure that we can reconcile those. I think what the psalmist is doing is he is expressing how he honestly feels in his heart. And we're going to see that again in just a moment in one of the most powerful psalms that we'll read in exile. But first, this one, we have 2 more to go. Psalm 123. Psalm 123. This is one of those songs of ascents that the people of Israel would sing and would read and would recite as they were going up later to the place of worship. Psalm 123, I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. The psalmist cries out in a time of weakness, in a place of weakness, as a slave, as one who was held in contempt by the arrogant and the proud rulers of their land. They were in exile, and they cried out to their God. They cried out for God to look with his eyes on them and their suffering and to have mercy. My friend, if you are going through difficult times, these psalms of a people in exile are for you, because that's how we feel sometimes, isn't it? And that psalm, Psalm 123, certainly expresses it. But none more powerfully, I think, than this last one we'll look at, Psalm 137. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And we sing those songs, right? We're marching to Zion. Beauty. You know, we sing those kinds of songs, heaven songs, we might call them. Songs about God's love and God's faithfulness and the victory we have in Jesus, all of that. And now they're captors in Babylon. We're telling them, hey, sing us one of those happy, peppy songs you Jews love so much about your God. But there on the poplars, he said, we had hung our harps. By the rivers of Babylon, Psalm 137, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion, when we remembered Solomon's beautiful temple, when we remembered our homeland. And we sat by the rivers of Babylon, and we cried. And when our captors came and said, sing us one of those happy peppy songs of Zion that you're always singing, this is how the psalmist replied in Psalm 137. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not remember and consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried, tear it down to its foundations. Those were their brethren. I mean, remember, the Edomites are descended from Esau, Jacob's brother, Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac and Rebekah. And the Edomites were there, Esau's descendants, when the Babylonians were destroying Jerusalem and were walking them away into captivity hundreds of miles away. And their cries were, tear it down to its foundations. And the psalmist hasn't forgotten that. And he's asking God to not forget it. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. That's rough. I can't deny it. It's a war crime, really. But the psalmist is expressing his anger at those who tortured them, those who killed their people, those who carried them off into exile and are making them suffer even still, their allies such as the Edomites who cried out in arrogance and cruelty. And this is what the psalmist says. You can't justify such actions, but you can say what the psalmist is doing is he's speaking out of a broken heart that is crying out in pain, crying out in suffering, crying out in anguish, crying out for deliverance, and crying out for vindication. I think Psalm 137 captures that in the best way of all of these psalms of exile. How can I sing songs of joy when I'm going through something? You can still have hope. I think our study through the book of Job over the last few lessons showed us that. That even though Job was suffering, and even though he spoke very frankly with God about that suffering, I've had some of those conversations with God, you have too, I'm sure, still Job held on to his faith, and I hope you will too, my friend. Still this psalmist, even as this psalmist cries out for deliverance, and not just deliverance, but vindication, ultimate victory over his enemies, for God to punish those for making them suffer so, even during that time, we can still trust in that God who is still there. As Jeremiah said in the Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It never fails. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I realize, my friend, that that's a hard thing to say. And I hope that you hear in these words from the psalmist, from Psalms of a people in exile, that they don't sugarcoat it. They express their suffering, and they also express their confusion about why God could let something happen. But they share that with the Lord. They speak to God about it. And I hope for you, in your darkest days, that you will speak with God about it. Yes, you may be angry. Yes, the words may flow. Yes, you may go too far even. But talk to God. He knows how you feel in your heart. And if you can pull in a trusted friend or two who won't judge you, who won't condemn you, but will let you vent for a while like Job did, like these psalmists do, and then help you to find that perspective once you've been able to get past that stage of grief and be able to say, you know, the Lord is still there with me. I was talking to a dear friend from high school days at South San Antonio High School in San Antonio, Texas, a little bit earlier on Facebook Messenger. What a great joy that is to be able to just speak about some memories and to share some of the sufferings that we've had since that time. And to be able to say, you know, we went through some hard, hard times. We certainly did. But here we are. And the Lord has seen us through. And what a great blessing our talk, our discussion was to me today. And what a great blessing it is to be able to read these psalms of a people in exile, to be able to see examples of honest sufferers that are willing and faithful enough, trusting enough to be honest with their God about how they feel and what they see and what they're going through. and to honestly and trustingly pray to the Lord for deliverance, and then to know that that deliverer still hears and he still cares and he will still be there for you. I pray that you'll have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you this coming Tuesday in our Facebook class or maybe Sunday at church. Who knows? God bless.